Lord, we pray that you would prepare each one of our hearts right now. Thank you for this wonderful time of worship. Well, thank you. Worship just has a way of unlocking and loosening hands and feelings that just are not willing to cooperate. Thank you that the words, the music, help us to let go, help us to refocus on what's really important. Thank you for this morning helping us to see. You're calling us out. Amen. Calling us out from where we are. You're asking us to be brave. Amen. Not by ourselves, but by looking at you, by trusting in you. There are some situations we face in our week, at work, at home, at school, that are tough. And God, we just know that you have promised that you will be with us. You will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And for this, we say thank you. Amen. Be with us this morning. Speak into each one of our lives. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Morning.
The message this morning, you know what the title is? Well, you're going to see it. Prepare for conflict. Wow, yeah, it's really good. I'm thrilled that we are, you know, journeying through the book of Exodus the way we are, and we've come to a point, we're actually going to be in chapter 5 today, and it's great. How many of you experience conflict in your lives? See, I didn't even raise my hand, so I got you so well trained now, right? Yeah, you know, like conflict is just something that we are all... Yeah, it's just something we're dealing with. You know, it could be today there's conflict. I get a month off and then there's more conflict, but it's just there. It's just a part of life. Well, before we jump into the verses, I just wanted to ask you a question. I want you to be honest, and you don't have to raise your hands on these things. These are personal questions I'm about to ask. I want to ask you, if you were to describe your God talks... And by that I mean your conversations with God. What do they look like? Are yours vibrant and robust, where you're talking to God on a daily basis and you're bringing all kinds of things to Him, and you're not ashamed or afraid to do that? But maybe yours are just non-existent. And the reason is you just don't believe in God. You just haven't come to that point yet where you say, you know what, I want to be in relationship with you, God. And so there are no conversations between you and God. Maybe yours are occasional. When you have a need, that's when the God talks really ramp up. That usually is the way it goes for many of us. And maybe the way you would describe your God talks is with a word like this: disappointing. Disappointing because when I ask Him for things, I just don't get it. I don't get what I'm asking for. And so your conclusion is pretty disappointing having talks with God, and maybe you just decide, I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, this morning, we're going to look at how crucial talking with God really is. And especially in times of conflict. We're talking this morning, as I said, from chapter 5 of Exodus. And Moses and Aaron are about to go and face Pharaoh. They have been prepared by God in the wilderness. And now it's time for action. And this is like round one of a 15-round heavyweight boxing match. We know who the winner is going to be. But don't think just because, you know, Moses and Aaron, they're commissioned by God. They're clear what they've got to do. They know what they've got to speak. Don't think that Pharaoh is just going to say, sure, go ahead. Take my workforce. No problem. I'll get somebody else to build those cities for me. It's just not going to happen. In fact, if you remember back to chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, God already told Moses, this is not going to be easy. Look what he said. However, I know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced by a strong hand. I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles that I will perform in it. After that, he will let you go. So already Moses knows he's walking into conflict. He's well prepared. Let me just read these verses to you from chapter 5, just so you get an idea of how it went. Later, Moses and Aaron went in and said to Pharaoh, this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival for me in the wilderness. And then you have Pharaoh's response. But Pharaoh answered and responded, who is Yahweh? We're going to get into this a lot more as we go through these plagues that are coming up. That's an honest question on the part of Pharaoh. It's not like, you know, he's just trying to be, you know, he's not trying to stir up trouble. His land is filled with all kinds of small g gods. He just doesn't know the real God. But still, his question is, who is Yahweh? That I should obey him by letting Israel go. I do not know anything about Yahweh. And besides, I will not let Israel go. Then they answered, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go on a 3-day trip into the wilderness so that we may sacrifice to Yahweh our God, or else he may strike us with plague or sword. And continuing on in verse 4, the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why are you causing the people to neglect their work? Get to your work. Pharaoh also said, look, the people of the land are so numerous, and you would stop them from working. I want to focus with you right now on verse 2. Verse 2 says, who is Yahweh? I don't know anything about Yahweh. I will not let Israel go. Pharaoh wants to keep God's people under slavery and under oppression. Where's the conflict in your life? What is it that has hold of you? I'm not saying you're not a believer, you're not a Christian. I know for the majority in this room that is the case. But that does not mean that you have the freedom that you really long for. What is it that has got you and you need to be released from? You have to know that there is a force in this universe that is against you being free. Now, on the one hand, you are free because of what Jesus has done in you. But you know in your practical daily life that there is a finger pointing and accusing you time and time again of your failure. And oftentimes you feel crippled by that very thing. For you, it may be lust. For you, it may be power. For you, it could be pride. Or it could be some form of idolatry that has laid hold of you. And now listen to me carefully. On the one hand, Satan is saying, oh yeah, I get it. You're a Christian. You're following Jesus. But I'm going to keep gnawing away. I'm going to keep going at this one thing that's in your life so you don't experience the freedom that Jesus has really brought you into. So we don't have a Pharaoh today, but we have an enemy, and so we shouldn't begin our Christian day or walk our Christian journey thinking that, oh, this is going to be great. I've been saved, and now I just got rose petals in front of me for the rest of my life, and there's unicorns jumping, and there's rainbows and blue skies. And blessing. I'm going to add that in. Because I know there are some of you who've heard, you know, if you turn your life to Jesus, you are going to have a life that is so blessed, you're going to have everything that you want. I don't see where you see that in the Bible. You should read the Bible from cover to cover, and you realize there is conflict. There has to be conflict. But in the conflict, God is there with you. And we're going to see that as we go through this. Let me move over to verses 6 through 9. These are very interesting verses because once Moses and Aaron leave the presence of Pharaoh, it says this: that day Pharaoh commanded the overseers of the people as well as their foremen, don't continue to supply the people with straw for making bricks. So the children of Israel, they are making bricks for Pharaoh, and there's mud and there's straw. They put them together. The straw is the binding agent that pulls it all together. And now Pharaoh says, okay, well, if they've got so much time on their hands, let me make this a little tougher for them. Let them get their own straw. I'm not going to do that anymore. And that's exactly what he did. They must go and gather straw for themselves, but require the same quota of bricks. Wow. I'm going to take something away from you, but I want the same result in the same time. Some of you are thinking, that's like my job. There were five people here just a year ago, and we were all doing our job, and the job never changed. The requirements were exactly the same. And now there's only three.
Same output.
It's like, three people doing what five people could do. And the economists are saying, look how much money, or the accountants are saying, look how much money we're saving. And the employers are like, I have a life, you know. Did they give you any more money for that extra work? Probably not. When that happens, what do you do? When something like that happens in your life, where something is just unfair, and maybe you're asking, well, why is this happening to me? I'm asking you this morning, who are you complaining to? Who are you talking to? That's a big point for us this morning. Who are you talking to? Let me finish those verses for you. The quota should remain the same. Then he says, for they are slackers. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Impose heavier work on the men, then they will be occupied with it and not pay attention to those deceptive words of Moses and Aaron. Who are you talking to when things don't go well? I want to show you now something that's quite interesting. There's leaders that were assigned over the children of Israel, and they find out what's going on, and I want to show you their response. Remember, the question we should be asking this morning is, who am I speaking to? Who, if I am complaining and I'm not satisfied with what's going on, just exactly who is it that I'm speaking to? So look at this in verse 15. So the Israelite foreman went in and cried for help to the Israelite foreman went in and cried for help to Pharaoh. Does your help come from Pharaoh? Many times you're looking for it. Many times you're thinking, okay, that's the cause of my problems. Therefore, I'm going to go to the cause of my problems, and that person is going to change things. And they said, why are you treating your servants this way? No straw has been given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks. Look, your servants are being beaten, but it's your own people who are at fault. They're saying, it's not our fault. It's somebody else's problem. So we got complaining going on, but the complaining to Pharaoh. Who are you complaining to? The leaders complained to man. They blamed others. In a sense, they were not prepared properly. They were not prepared for what was about to happen. And the question is, why? And I would say this, they have not developed their relationship with God. In fact, their relationship with God is all secondhand. Moses is speaking to them, Aaron is speaking to them. It's all secondhand. And let me ask you, how about your relationship with God? You come here every week. You hear what's been said. And if that's where it ends, I'm telling you right now, that is not enough. That is not going to help you. It's only secondhand. You have to develop your own relationship with God. And if you don't, when conflict comes, what you hear this morning is not going to help you. If it remains right here and you get on with the rest of your life, if you're not developing your relationship with God on a daily basis, and that's why I asked you, how is your God talk from day to day? Let me contrast, huge contrast in these verses now, starting in verse 22. Now we see Moses. Sorry, can you go to the, there you go, that was my mistake. So Moses, okay, sorry, the one thing I didn't mention, they don't just complain to Pharaoh, they also complain to Moses. You did this! It's the same. Doesn't matter whether you're complaining to Pharaoh, you're complaining to Moses, you're still complaining to the wrong people. So I want to show you these verses here. And I challenge you this morning to tell me anything other than the fact that this is a complaint by Moses. Listen to these words. So Moses went back to the Lord. Lord, okay, let me not raise my voice because then if I raise my voice, it's like it's too easy for you to say, yeah, for sure it's a complaint. Okay. Lord, why have you caused trouble for this people? Let me emphasize. Why have you caused trouble for this people? And why did you ever send me? Ever since I went into Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has caused trouble for this people, and you haven't delivered your people at all. Does that sound like a complaint? Yes. Sounds like a complaint to me. But let me ask you, who is he complaining to? The right person. Where are you directing your complaints? You know, Moses knew there was going to be pushback. Do you? At work, at home, with your kids, with your neighbors. Yeah, there's going to be conflict. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be conflict at times. Where are you taking your complaint? I want to show you a quote from a man named Samuel Chan. I'm actually reading his book right now. Any of you who are at all interested in leadership and wanting to be a leader, I would highly recommend his book. It's called Leadership Pain. Look what he says. And this has nothing to do with leadership now. It's an observation, and I think it's very helpful for us. In about half the Psalms, for those of you not familiar, there's 150 Psalms in the Old Testament. In about half of the Psalms, the writers poured out their frustrations, disappointments, doubts, fears, and anger, often toward God. In other words, God, why? God, you. God, I don't like this. God, I want revenge. But in all but two, they eventually come around to a fresh perspective of the goodness and greatness of God, and their faith is renewed. Isn't that amazing? God's not, I can't get ahead of myself. It's just too good. Look at it. Okay, above all these complaints, and all these complaints are in God's songbook. That's, the songbook just means the Psalms. Obviously, can we read this last line together? It's all bold and everything else. Ready, go. God. Oh, I love that. That's true. How many times have you had, you know, an outpouring with God or a conversation with God, and it didn't start well? And it didn't start with Father God or Lord Jesus, or, and it was like, God, I'm upset. And some of you are saying, I never had a conversation like that with God. Maybe you should. Maybe you should. The Psalms are filled with it. Complaints. God's not intimidated by your complaints. That's irreverent. God will strike me with a lightning bolt. No. God knows. God knows what you're going through. God is with you. God cares for you. He's compassionate and merciful. God isn't shocked or offended. It's not like you say, God, what's going on at my work? And God says, what? Did something happen when I wasn't looking? God isn't shocked or offended by your honesty, raw honesty. Talk things out. Can I encourage you this morning? Talk things out with God. I would say even before you talk it out with your wife or your husband, talk to God. Before you talk it out with your boss, talk it out with God. You'll be different. Because eventually what's going to happen is you're going to get a fresh perspective of the goodness and greatness of God, and your faith will be renewed. Amen? Let me share with you an experience. I've gone through this a number of times in a number of places. Because I serve with my full time, in different churches, a number of the churches that I've worked in over the years, there's no like signed contract like, you know, a lot of people have these days. And so a lot of times we're serving by faith. And so I don't know how much money is coming in month. And that's the way, you know, we've operated for a very, very long time. And I had some really good lessons to learn. Because there were a number of times when no money came. Zero. No explanation at all. And I'm thinking, okay, what's going on here? I have a wife. I have three kids. I got to buy groceries. I got to put gas in my car. And all these thoughts are going on in my mind. And I'm just so thankful that I've had the opportunity to take those complaints, not to my wife, but first taking them to God. And here's the crazy thing that happens. I begin to see something that's just not right in my heart. My motive, my intentions, my desires, my expectations, all put under the microscope. And it's like, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And afterwards, it's just like, God, you are so amazing. He allows us to go through conflict because he wants to deepen a relationship that we have with him, trusting in him, finding out a little bit more about ourselves. Let me show you the end of this kind of dialogue that goes on between Moses and God. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, "But the Lord replied to Moses, 'Now you are going to see.'" Oh, I love those words. Moses had the complaint to God, and God said, "Now you are going to see what I will do to Pharaoh." In other words, I'm going to take some action. When your complaints are to other people, you don't help them and you don't help yourself. But when you complain to God, God says, "Watch what I'm about to do. He will let them go because of my strong hand. He will drive them out of his land because of my strong hand." Moses, the battle isn't yours. The battle is mine. I want to conclude this morning with a quote that I found, actually Dell pointed us to this week, extremely helpful, and I think it can help us a lot as we face conflict. Tim Keller, in his book on understanding suffering and pain, he wrote these words: "How do we prepare for conflict? How do we prepare for suffering? Are you preparing for conflict? Or is it just like, oh no, I'm just going to go in, I'm sure everything will be fine." Brothers and sisters, you got to prepare for conflict. If you don't prepare for conflict, it's going to wipe you out at times. Look what Tim Keller mentioned. "Preparation, if it is to be effective, should happen before we are actually experiencing the searing pain." Brothers and sisters, this is why I keep encouraging you this morning. Develop your relationship with God and start having more conversations with God. You need that. You need to start before the conflict happens. Next quote goes this way: "A great deal of preparation for suffering is simple but crucial. It means developing a deep enough knowledge of the Bible and a strong and vital enough prayer life that you will neither be surprised by nor overthrown by affliction." Do you see the benefit of developing this relationship with God? When you know His Word, and when you know Him through a vital prayer life, that's that God talk that we started with. Deepen, strengthen that relationship that you have with Him. You will not be surprised. I'm going to wait on the last quote because I want to throw in here 1 Peter chapter 4. Very interesting quote. No, very interesting verses. There's verse 1 and verse 12 that I want to highlight for you. Look at this. "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking." Do you understand what that means? That's Christ suffered. Guess what's going to happen to you? Yeah. What's going to happen to me as a Christian? There are going to be times of suffering. This does not mean day in and day out. It just means there will be times of suffering. And Peter is encouraging the believers, you've got to prepare yourself for this. Verse 12 is great. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the sufferings or the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." It's like, if you're asking, "God, why is this happening to me?" you got to take a step back and ask yourself, are you reading your word well? Do you understand that conflict is coming? Persecution may be coming. Disappointments may be coming. All kinds of things may be coming. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. As though something strange were happening to you. Let me finish off with the final quote from Tim Keller. "Some people have the naive view that because they are fairly savvy people or self-disciplined or morally decent or simply, I'm just a good Christian. That really, really bad things simply can't happen to them. Brothers and sisters, if you're in this category and you think, oh, I'm just such a good person, I'm morally upstanding, I'm self-disciplined, I'm a good person, so there's no possibility that bad things can be happening to me. And you hear this all the time. You might hear it from your coworkers. Why do bad things happen to good people? Look how Tim Keller quotes. That is nothing but bad theology. If that is your theology, if that is the understanding you have on life, if that's your worldview, you got to change it. Because you're out there shining for Jesus, and if you're complaining when things are not going well, your colleagues, your coworkers, your family members are paying attention. Don't have this kind of bad theology. And so many people's misery and distress and suffering is doubled and tripled, coming not from the trouble itself, but from the shock that they are suffering at all. Can we see the life that God has called us into? This does not mean that you have to walk around in drudgery and beat yourself and, you know, have less than everybody else. No one's talking like that this morning. But there will be conflict in your life. Remember, there is another force at play in this universe. He is by no means an equal force to God, and God is going to triumph, but that still doesn't mean that you're not going to have conflict and suffering at times. A.B. Simpson has a song. Once it was the blessing, but now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, but now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Let me just say a few words on this. There's nothing wrong with having the blessing of the Lord and all those other things, a rich feeling towards God, wonderful. Gifts that God has for you, excellent. Healing that God may bring your way, wonderful. But are they at the expense of Him? Somebody reminded me this week, there were 10 lepers who came for healing to Jesus. How many returned to say thank you? So healing, if you're all after healing, or if you're all after gift, and you miss the giver and you miss the healer, you miss the wrong thing, right? Or you missed it. Develop your relationship with God. Amen? This morning, you may want to make a connection with God. You've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you're one of those people that I mentioned in the beginning. You don't have a God talk with God because you are not in relationship with Him and you have not yet been saved. And I would encourage you to do something about that this morning. Maybe you're going through some kind of a conflict, struggle, or difficulty right now that you would just love it if someone came beside you, not to judge, but to encourage and to pray for you. I would encourage you also, would you please do something about that this morning? Don't walk out of here and say, I'm all good, when you're not. We're all broken. We all need help from time to time. And the reason I mention these things, right behind this wall, we have a team of people, mature Christians, who are willing to pray with you. It's our prayer room. If you're a little bit too nervous and you feel like, oh, you know what, I can't do that on my own, would you grab somebody beside you and say, look, could you just go with me? go with me this morning and help me so that I can get prayed for? I really do want to be saved, and I've just never had the courage to do it. This morning we sang, "You make me brave. You make me brave." Don't rely on you. Have that conversation right now. God, I need you to help me to take the steps out this door and into that room so somebody could pray with me. Somebody could help me to make that connection with God. Let's pray. Father, your word is so rich and so enlightening. So we just thank you so much for pouring out into each one of our hearts and our minds this morning. And I just pray that every one of us here would not only hear these words, but we would go away from here people who are determined to deepen our relationship with you. We would be prepared for the day when the conflict comes by our deepening of our relationship with you today. Pray for your grace and your mercy to continue to be with us, whether we are at home, whether we are at work, whether we are at school. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Are there any announcements that I know of? No? Okay, good. We are all set to go. We will see you here next week.